You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
We're the Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm a writer and producer. I live in Pasadena, California with my husband. I have two college-age sons and a big dog.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I'm a former senior executive. I live in Santa Monica, California with my little dog, Hooper.
I'm Julie Dolan. I live in Dallas, Texas, but I'm always planning my next international trip. And while waiting for visas, I help take care of my five grandchildren and my husband.
That's right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Thanks for joining us today. Once again, a super full show. I mean, we have stuff happening everywhere. Okay, first of all, we have to talk about that front page story on the New York Times about Nike.
Yes. The women at Nike are staging a revolt, Leon. And I was formerly a woman at Nike.
As was I, yeah.
And so we are...
I got a lot of free Nike stuff when you were at Nike. So I was in on this story, too.
So I think there's a major Satellite Sisters Stay Noisy Award going to the women involved in this revolt. More on that later.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Julie, you have a situation with a neighbor you want us to weigh in on?
Yes, I do. I need a direction. I have three choices. You're going to pick one for me.
On Entertaining Sisters today, Liz, you went to see a panel discussion with the entire cast of The Crown.
Yes, yes. It was very exciting. Not the whole cast, but like a good Princess Margaret was there, which I enjoyed. And of course, the Queen herself. Yeah, it's Emmy season, Leanne. So I get invited as a former TV executive. I get invited to all these things and they're free. So I go.
And then, Julie, you're bringing us a book you loved and two TV shows you have going to watch. Right?
That's right. I stay home. I don't go to a TV premieres, Leanne. But I have some information that might be helpful.
Hi, I have a magazine roundup and I have some breaking news on brunch. So
how is that possible?
It's possible, Liz. It's possible. All right. But Jewel, what's the situation there in Dallas? What's happening?
Okay. So here's my situation. Someone is building a house behind our lot and we share an alley where all the utility wires and lines, including my AT&T U-verse cable, is located.
Yeah.
And this is the cable that... This is my lifeblood. It is the internet. It's the TV. The construction has gone on for 3 months. And in the last 3 months, the construction workers have cut my internet cable, U-verse cable, twice.
Oh, ouch.
I complain. Yes, which means I'm out of business. You know, it's a giant, you know, you got to stay home. It's got to get reconnected. They got to bury it again.
We can hear it in your voice. Yeah, we can hear what it's doing to you in your voice.
Okay, it's a big Magilla. Okay, so I called the first time, complained to the builder, and he told me my complaint was far-fetched. So, of course, I hung up on him. Anyone that tells me I'm far-fetched, they're out.
Far-fetched?
So the house, far-fetched. That was his response to my complaint. So anyway, the house will not be completed until August or September. So I feel like I have three choices. Door number one is go with the flow. Play the long game. I mean, these are going to be my neighbors. It's important to me to have good relations or at least civil relations with my neighbors. And gee, how many more times could they cut my cable between now and August?
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
That's door. Okay. That's the first job. Door number two is to reject door number one and to say, are you kidding me? Complain to the city, write threatening letters to the owners and to the builders, and really take this to DEFCON 2 and just let them know that things would happen, heads would roll if my cable is cut again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Door number three, I see as more like the resistance. Now, I'm not saying that water balloons were thrown over the back fence on Sunday into the construction site, but things like that could happen. That's what I'm saying. So
those are our three choices.
Yeah. Those are really my three choices, sister. I'm really at a crossroads. You know how jittery it makes when you're not connected. It's terrible.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think I should do? What's the right thing?
Leanne, do you have a gut?
I'm going to say number two. I'm going to say DEFCON 2.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's the builder you have the issue with, not the owners. You're never going to see them again.
Right.
The builder, right? Okay. Right? So I don't think you owe the builder anything. I would, you know, be firm, because it's really, first of all, they're idiots for to continually cut your wires. That's not a good builder.
Right.
You know,
yes,
I mean, it's pretty obvious where wires are. I mean, yes. I'm not a builder.
I would have gone with 1 and 3. I think a combo of 1 and 3. Play the long game with your neighbors. Even if you pick a fight with the builder, I would not let that spread to the neighbors, because that's sort of a permanent relationship thing. You're going to want and need a good relationship with them. So I wouldn't burn down the house. But an occasional water balloon, I mean, you
over
do.
Over the back fence?
Yes.
What do you think?
You do have children and grandchildren in the neighborhood who could, like, they could have some fun with that. you know, toilet paper in the trees, a few things like that. Is that what you're thinking? Just pranksters,
yeah.
Pranksters.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
We have a neighbor that we have a passive-aggressive relationship with like that. And every once in a while, my husband will do something, and it makes us feel better. But it's very temporary.
Yes,
and it,
it
doesn't solve the problem.
It is juvenile to throw water balloons over the back fence. I'm not saying that happened. But if one were to do that, it's a pretty... But it does, you do have a moment where it feels pretty darn good. Okay, all right, well... I think that was a help. I'm not certain. But
right.
At least I'm talking to you on the show today. That's
yes.
I mean,
right.
I just, every moment I'm connected, I'm now grateful.
I think when it's related to work, you're allowed to get, this is.
No, yeah, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying, do not poison the well with your actual future neighbors.
Okay.
There would be a long-term price to pay for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Solid advice.
Maybe you should TP the house of the builder. Did you think about that?
Okay. Now that's some creative problem solving. Thank you, Liz.
I mean, just again, that could be very satisfying. And they would never know, but you would.
All right. Moving on to a hot topic. I mean, it's a topic that divides the nation, Liz.
What
According
is that?
To the Washington Post this weekend, here people are either brunchers or non-brunchers.
The topic that divides the nation?
That's it.
I did. When I was in Brooklyn, my son is so anti-brunch. He hates those brunchers, Liam, you know? Because they go to brunch and then they're like drunk in the middle of the day wandering around in Brooklyn.
I guess.
They go to brunch, they get unlimited mimosas, unlimited Bloody Marys. And then they're just wandering around drunk in the middle of the day.
I had no idea that this was happening. I haven't been part of the brunch set in quite a long time. In fact, one of the key relationship points my husband and I have is we never eat out like breakfast, because he's an early riser. I'm an early riser. We have already done so many things before 9 a.m. Even on the weekend, it's not worth it to go out to brunch. So this weekend, we found ourselves out at brunch, but not on purpose. We were going to lunch, but because we had...
Just got an early start.
Yeah, an early start, you know. He had worked a couple hours, ran 11 miles. I had done a couple of things, walked the dog, gone to a class, done some work. Well, let's go out to lunch, and it's 11, so it's technically brunch. And when we got there and they handed us a brunch menu, I was psyched, because the last time I went out to brunch was like 10 years ago. I mean, I remember it. Again, we didn't mean to go out to brunch. It was an accidental brunching. So I went ahead and ordered a mimosa, because I know it's a once in a decade thing for me.
Yes.
And it was not a bottomless mimosa. It was just a single delicious mimosa, because it was made with high quality champagne, not André.
Okay.
And I thoroughly enjoyed my brunch, Liz. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. And then I go and I
see now you're done for 10 years.
I see this headline. I had no idea that brunch was a divisive issue. But Julie, it's exactly what you described. There is a whole generation out there. They were raised on Sex and the City. They were used to seeing those women brunch. And this is it. They like go. They drink mimosas all day. Then they come out and they fall down on the sidewalks.
Right. I mean, Urban Nana, I was there last week pushing that stroller. They're clogging up the sidewalk, too, because, you know, everybody wants to go to brunch. So, of course, you have to wait in line for brunch. So you can't get by with your strollers on a Sunday.
I had no idea. Because I just think of brunch as like a nice meal. Gee, I wish I could.
It's not a lifestyle.
I didn't know.
No,
it's become a lifestyle.
They ruined it, Lan. You would never go to brunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be with all those drunken brunchers.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it sounds like it's kind of nuts. And then you really waste the whole day. I mean, I know I sound old and cranky.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
But
yes, you do.
I mean,
you
want to
throw
drinking.
Some water balloons over the back fence with me, Lan?
I'm just sorry to see, as one person in the Washington Post said, well, there's classy brunch and there's non-classy brunch. And I just thought all brunch was classy. But I also didn't know that most of America doesn't brunch. Like, this is a ridiculous concept to many, many parts of America. And you know what the number one brunch city is? I know you're thinking it's Brooklyn, but it's not. According to the Google search engine, Washington, D.C. is the number one brunch city. It's the city where they search the term brunch the most. So that says a lot that those people, it's just so bad
they've
there.
Just they one more thing they've ruined. One more thing. They are responsible for ruining everything, everybody in the swamp, and they're taking down brunch with them.
Last week in Washington, D.C., there was an actual brunch con. Comic-Con? Yeah. There was a convention of brunchers. I had no idea.
What, they have panels on hollandaise sauce or something? What?
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
They come with t-shirts that say brunch so hard. And, you know, it's a whole thing. I had no idea.
So yeah, it's like that SantaCon like that got
St.
out of control.
Patrick's Day or something. It's like it gives you people like a green light to get like drunk in the middle of the day. I don't get it.
I was just so surprised. I enjoyed our once a decade brunch. I enjoyed my once a decade mimosa. And then I came home and I realized that like everything else, brunch has been denigrated. And I'm sorry to hear that. So
you're just going to go back to making your own toast, right? Is that it?
It's true. Why leave the house, Liz? Why leave the house? This is what they've done to us.
All right. Hey, before we get too far into the show, I do want to let people know about a special appearance that you made, Leon, on the other podcast I do. Listeners know I do another show. It's a career advice show called Safe for Work. And it's, I give career advice, believe it or not. My sisters don't want to hear my career advice, so I give it to strangers who call in. And it is an entertaining show, and I suggest you check it out. But last week, we did a live version of Safe for Work at the LA Times Festival of Books. On the live show, we had a series of noted authors. Steve Almond was on the show. Sarah Benincasa was on the show. And the most notable of all the noted is our very own Leon Dolan.
Thank you,
was
Liz.
On the show. Thank you for coming on. And Leon's gig, Julie, I think you helped her work on her material behind the scenes.
There was some collaboration, yes.
Yeah, so it's Leon giving advice to my co-host about how to work with me.
We have some experience. We have some thoughtful reflections, Liz, that we wanted to share with your new co-host.
What was funny was Matt, her co-host, was trying to say, oh, he was trying to set it up. I'm like, oh, Matt, you don't need any words. We know what you're going through. You don't need to set it up. But yes, that's dropped now. That episode has dropped, Liz.
It's dropped. You can
listen
to it.
People can tune in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was happy to be featured on Safe for Work.
Yeah.
I think you do a fine job over there at that podcast, Liz.
Thank you.
You have a lot of career advice to give.
Even if you don't have a career, right. I think you'll find the advice really helpful.
It
is. You know, I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Because it's not real. It's more about the people skills you need to just get through life. I mean, not that mine are always great, but it's more about the EQ aspects of being in any kind of a workplace, the sort of emotional intelligence that will help you make decisions like, you know, should you bomb your neighbor over the fence? It's just the equivalent of that, but insert cubicles to the neighbor over the back fence kind of dilemmas.
No, it's very solid. Very solid. And that is called Safe for Work.
Safe for Work.
Mm-hmm. So it's, you have to go someplace to
available everywhere.
Sisters.
Apple Podcast. Anywhere you get, anywhere you're listening to us right now,
You
can find Safe for Work. So I encourage you to give it a listen. And Leon comes up at the top. She's, you know, the featured number one slot.
So, a number one guest.
Yes.
I brought it. 5 and 5. That's what I did. 5 minutes. That's all I got. I think I made the most of it.
Very, very exciting. Okay, so I've got some good news, bad news, terrible news, but good news here, all wrapped up into one giant front page story in the New York Times on Sunday, which I know you guys saw. So here's what the headline said. Women at Nike revolt, forcing change at last. So this was on Sunday's paper, but I got to tell you, the text started coming into me on Saturday because that's when they posted it online. And I was at Nike for 10 years. I was a senior executive there. I ran marketing. Leon, you were there for a number of years.
Yep.
You worked in the film production department there.
Under the design umbrella. Mm-hmm. Which is, it was, so my boss is now, my former boss when I was there is now the CEO of Nike.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah, he's in this story.
Yeah, he's in the story. Yes. But he was lovely to me.
Okay. So here's the news. Originally, the news that broke in March was that six top male executives had left the company, including very high-ranking men, the president of the Nike brand, his top lieutenant, and this is always a bad sign, the head of diversity. So when you're firing your head of diversity and the guy who's in charge of the whole brand, that's not good. But what prompted this is what the subject of this weekend's story is. And it's that the women rose up. The women internally decided they were not being heard, so they were going to band together, gather the information the company needed to hear, and they were going to present it to the CEO, Mark Parker, and that's what we did. So first of all, kudos to the women of Nike. You are our Satellite Sisters of the Week. You get our Stay Noisy Award. What they did, I really appreciated the way they went about this, and it was born of frustration, no doubt. It was born of not being heard. But what they did is they surveyed women around the company and they asked them about whether they'd been the victim of sexual harassment or gender discrimination. They gathered that all together and they presented their findings to the CEO. Mark Parker, the CEO, then moved fairly quickly to get rid of the men who he believed were not just responsible for the bad behavior. So these guys were not getting fired because of specific sexual harassment allegations, but for creating a culture that allowed and protected this behavior. So there's a slight ray of sunshine that they are actually trying to address this from the much larger issue. But I think, well, let's talk about what's super depressing here.
Right.
Julie, you and I were talking about this the other day. I mean, the long list of depressing behavior inside the company includes trips to strip clubs, demeaning remarks about women's body parts, and an inner circle of men who kind of ruled through bullying and fear. And as we were talking about this, it's like, this is still going on. It's just depressing.
I mean, that was my first job out of college working for U.S. Steel. You know, that was certainly the culture and the climate of that place. But, you know, when I read that in the New York Times, I was actually surprised that it was still going on, you know, that men are still like in the presence of their female coworkers, you know, trying to, you know, do the pros and cons of who has better strip clubs, L.A. Mm-hmm. Or New York. I mean, totally inappropriate behavior. So I'm not surprised that that was happening. But when women complained to the HR department that nothing got done, that's what surprised me, Liz. You know,
because you
would think 30 years since we started working that at least there would be now some protocol, you know, some real, you know, response that you're supposed to have when women bring issues like this to HR.
Yes, exactly. So even though, like, kudos to the women for staging the result and coming forward. And I'll put a link to this story in our show notes because it's a major story. You should read the whole thing. We don't have time to go through everything that's in here, but it is really fascinating. So here's one part of the story that really stuck out to me. I'm going to read you this. For Amanda Shabil, who left Nike in September, after about 5 years in the company, the promise to address longstanding systemic problems is welcome but late. Quote, "Why did it take an anonymous survey to make change?" she asked. "Many of my peers and I reported incidences in a culture that were uncomfortable, disturbing, threatening, unfair, gender-biased, and sexist, hoping that something would change that would make us believe in Nike again. No one went just to complain. We went to make it better." And I think, for me, that is really like a key thing, because the women, they're inside a company that many of them love or they're making contributions to. I know I felt that way when I was there, a company with all of its flaws. But
it's a company that inspires a lot of loyalty from its employees.
Yeah.
It's almost like graduating from a college. Like, that's how you think of yourself if you were a Nike mm-hmm. employee, like that you were an alumni of something that was kind of special.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but this is what's so depressing, Leanne, is that they to allow this to go on. It's one thing, you know, 20, 30 years ago that they're still not being heard, you know, and when she says, We want to make it better. Like, that's what I really hear most of all. I know that's the way I felt when I was there, that I would try to make change. I certainly was very outspoken as an executive during the time that I was there. And it kind of reminded me of what Jody Cantor from the New York Times said at that panel I went to a few months ago. So Jody Cantor just won the Pulitzer Prize last week for the reporting she and Megan Toohey did about the whole Harvey Weinstein era. And the what really stuck out to me is Jody Cantor said when she talks to the women who were the victims of this, that there's a feeling of deep mourning among the women that have been through this because it's about careers derailed or cut short or opportunities denied for advancement, but also opportunities to contribute to the company.
Right.
You know, and I think that's for a lot of women that have been through this. And obviously, I have friends that are still there. I have friends that have left there, like all along the spectrum, men and women, by the way, that I've talked to about this. But the idea, I mean, a company loses so much when you don't really listen to your people and allow them to contribute and advance. And for the women who are sort of checking out and going elsewhere, it's like you have to go start somewhere else all over again. And there you can see in the story as you read through it, there are still like many anonymous people who just are, they don't really want to have their names attached to what they're saying. So to the people that say, oh, now in the Me Too era, everybody gets to say whatever they want. It's like ollie, ollie, income free. Everybody gets to like totally lay it out there. Well, no, not really. It's still very difficult for women to come forward, especially in a company like Nike, where they make the point in the story, and Lee and you and I both live through this. It's kind of, it's a big company in a relatively small city.
Right.
You know, Leon would always joke, Julie, that Portland isn't so much a small city as it is a large high school. And
Right. You know, I think several women in the article said that they were afraid to come forward, both because of the company and because of the implications of living in Portland. Right.
I mean, it really
like it was such a small town.
It does dominate the town. I mean, there are a couple of big companies there, but Nike is sort of the dominant company. When I went to work there, it was very, very common for there to be husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, entire families, because Portland at the time was a tiny city coming out of a really bad depression from the end of the lumber business up there. Nike was the one bright star. It was quite small then. So there was kind of a sense of like, oh, you're smart. Anybody at home like you? I mean, it was very, I mean, true. I mean, true. There were lots of, I mean, I ended up there because I wasn't even planning on staying. I just got an interview and, oh, this looks fine. I'll just stay here. I mean, because it was an
excellent career move, sister.
Very small town. Yeah. So, but I think in the article, it mentions like one of the reasons people don't move forward is there are so many husbands and wives and so many, you know, kind of family members working there. It's very hard to come forward.
They don't want their names attached to things. So do read the story. It's fascinating. There are two things in it that make me hopeful. And, you know, we're all about the stay noisy. So the first thing that makes me hopeful is that women came forward in an organized way and are sticking up for each other. That is a very positive thing. The other thing that makes me hopeful is that the company is, you know, saying that they're going to be enacting sweeping change that's more than just removing a few bad actors. So this isn't a case where they've removed a few guys who did some bad things. What they've done is removed people who were responsible for protecting people doing bad things. And that's a whole different standard. And so I would say, let's just make sure we continue to hold them to it. So
you think that they can make positive change?
I do. Yes, I totally do. Yes, because it's, you know, when you have a workforce where at least a certain number of women felt empowered enough to come forward, they have to be taken seriously now. It's God knows it's not easy, Julie, because I mean, I was there in the 90s and we were sort of fighting some of this stuff. So here we are all these years later. But I would say,
and almost, it's a sports company.
Yeah, but also I mean, almost every company in America is going through this right now. So I appreciate the idea that they're taking the larger view and saying this isn't about removing a few bad actors. This is about culture change. So culture change, as we all know, is incredibly difficult to engineer.
Right.
But without a long-term commitment to it, you have no shot.
Yeah.
So to the extent that they are making a long-term commitment to that, I guess I am... I'm feeling a little bit hopeful about that. Okay. The only other thing I wanted to mention in the sort of Me Too block here is that the other day I went to hear Ronan Farrow speak about his new book. Lee and I just gave you a copy
of it. Thank you, Liz.
It is
It's called War on Peace.
It's called War on Peace, and it's actually about the State Department. Julie, I have a copy for you, too, because I know you are both fans of diplomacy.
Yes.
And because you do your weekly recap of the TV show, Madam Secretary, I know you're very close to that you enjoy commentary on what's going on in the world of diplomacy. And so it's okay. Leanne's phone is going off.
And then my computer is connected to my phone. So I don't even
know. At least you have connection.
How that happened.
Don't complain.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
So one thing about Ronan Farrow's book, you know, about the State Department that really stuck with me, he asked the question, why are the politics of peace so much harder than the politics of war? And that's essentially what the book is about. You know, so that's interesting. That's why you enjoy it. But first, when he answered, the first question he got from Tommy Vietor was about the Me Too movement, because he was asked about how did he feel about the news that Charlie Rose, did you guys hear about this? Charlie Rose was shopping a show in which he would interview other fallen men, including Matt Lauer, Louis C.K. And you know how this news came out? Another Solid Gold satellite sister, Tina Brown, who was just on our show a couple of months ago. Tina said she was pitched this show. And she, of course, turned it down. But she's the one that came forward publicly and we're like, what the hey? No.
I mean, idea is that?
Yeah, I know. I know. So anyway, what Ronan Farrow said, you know, he's been so outspoken on the Me Too issue, not just as a journalist at The New Yorker, but as regards to the case with his sister and their father, Woody Allen. He said part of the reason he would not be interested in such a show at all is that it's important that we not lose sight of the important sign of the sort of increasing progress we're making, which is that we're paying attention to women coming forward. And we need to keep hearing their stories. They were brave enough to come forward. And he believes we keep the spotlight there. It's a little bit too early to turn to the men who are trying to portray themselves as being somehow a victim of this. So, I'm not really ready to hear any of them talk about, you know, do some kind of mea culpa or not. It's never going to be good enough for me.
No.
So there you go. That's my report. Oh, so the one thing that I want to tell you guys, though, that was funny. So one of the things Ronan Farrow was talking about, that it's hard for people to appreciate the hard work of diplomacy, is because the CIA gets all these great TV shows made about them, you know, like Homeland, and the military, the Pentagon gets all these great TV shows about them. But you can't make a great TV show about diplomacy because it's kind of people sitting around. And then Tommy Vietor said, well, but what about Madam Secretary? And Ronan Farrow said, is that still on the air? Yes.
Ronan.
So
still on the air, Ronan.
Still on the air. So yesterday.
Season 5, Ronan, is going to be coming your way. Okay.
So I tweeted a link to your Madam Secretary recap to them yesterday.
Thank you.
Just in case they want to catch up with the important work of diplomacy that you two sisters are doing, talking about the diplomacy on Madam Secretary. They don't have to watch the show. You know my policy. Just listen to Satellite Sisters Talk TV and you'll find out what you need to know about the world of diplomacy through just an average person. Well,
I mean, this week on the show in 60 Minutes, they saved the polar bears and brought back nuclear power. That was just 60 minutes of diplomacy on Madam Secretary.
It's called entertainment, but also you see the hard work the diplomats are doing.
It was exciting. It was exciting. Yes, that is our Satellite Sisters Talk TV recap of the CBS drama Madam Secretary. Julie and I carry on, and we're looking forward to doing it for a fifth season.
I think we're going to win a Pulitzer, Liam. No doubt.
We did some analysis the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I noticed.
It's been incredible, the work we're doing over there.
Yeah. And some breaking news. We had some breaking news, some confirmation from Taya Leone herself this week about a controversial issue. Were they eating ice cream with a fork or a spoon? Taya confirmed it was a fork. We did that. We broke down several parts of the military this week. Because
there was some confusion about whether Marines can fly. I heard that part.
That was it. That was it, Liz. Anyway, that's a separate feed. If you're looking for that, that's over at Satellite Sisters Talk TV. All right. Well, some more news. This seems pretty lightweight now, after what you were just talking about, Liz. But, you know, I like to do
But we need a change. Yeah.
I like to do these magazines.
Let's go deep on some shallow topics.
Thank you, Julie.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Julie. I like to do the magazine roundup every once in a while. I'm trying to keep the magazine business afloat.
Yes.
I would like to send out a disclaimer, though. I'm on to a couple of magazines who are basically just glorified Instagram accounts now.
Oh, really?
I'm not for that, Sunset Magazine. You have a new editor-in-chief. If I want pictures of people I don't know on their loungewear, I'll just go to Instagram.
Yeah.
Magazines are pictures and words. And words. All right.
As a writer, okay. You're sticking to that.
Yeah, I'm sticking to that. Okay.
Words. We're very pro words here.
Okay. So this month we're gonna take a look at the Oprah magazine, Real Simple, and I got some groundbreaking news from Health magazine.
Okay,
I think
good.
Both of you are really gonna be interested in. Okay, so this month they're talking about what can we agree on, right? We talked about the divisiveness of brunch.
Right.
We talked about the divisiveness of other things. So I thought this was actually a pretty good little tip. Quick tip that we can employ. Okay, according to Daniel Shapiro, he's a PhD and he's a conflict resolution expert. And he said the best way actually to get to the table with someone, to get to the next step in terms of resolving conflict, was to actually start with the small stuff. He's found in rooms, if people can agree on weird, complicated things like, you play tennis? I play tennis. Mm-hmm. Oh, you enjoy brunch? I enjoy brunch. that is actually a very productive stepping stone to get to the bigger conflict that they have to resolve. Uh-huh.
I agree with that. Liz, do you remember when we were talking to those CEOs, those female CEOs? They said many times they like to start by a conversation with workers finding out their favorite ice cream flavor of ice cream, something simple, you know, and safe. You know, I'm sure there are people that don't eat ice cream, but they still might have a favorite flavor. So, yeah, I can see that.
Confidence building measures. Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of an emotional connection that doesn't have a huge consequence.
Yeah.
You know, you're not starting off with, hey, what'd you think of the White House Correspondents' Dinner? You know, that's going to flame out. That's a conversation.
No.
That's going to flame
that's
out.
That's a dead end.
But, you know, what flavor ice cream do you like? Okay, for everyone likes ice cream, Liz.
You know, Richard Holbrook said, or Ronan Farrow said that Richard Holbrook, who he writes about a lot in his book, you know, the famous diplomat, used to take like his opposite number from Pakistan or Afghanistan, like out to the movies when their wives were out of town or something. Like he would just do like really simple social things like that with them to create that bond.
Okay, there you go. So thanks, O Magazine. That's a good tip. I thought I would pass on. All right, now we're getting serious here. Liz, Julie, I know you're wondering, I need a new use for an old thing. And that old thing.
You do.
That old thing would be coffee filters. Do you guys have a lot of coffee filters around?
I do. I've got stacks of them, Liam.
Yes, okay. But I don't need new uses for them. They're filtering coffee.
Wait till you hear what you can do.
I want to hear.
Okay. Julie, I know you're trying to stack up all the china in your cabinets, right? And you don't want it to get scratched or nicked or anything. You want to start layering those coffee filters in between the china and the cups. Liz, look at the picture. You need more of that in your life, Liz. I know
But the china is big. The coffee filter isn't as big as the china. Is that okay?
Do you use
more than one coffee filter per plate, Liam?
I think you're going to have to use your own judgment on that.
The photo shows coffee cups stacked on the coffee filter, Julie. So they started small.
Okay. All right. It's so hard to clean mirrors, isn't it? Oh, my gosh. Did you know?
I know they're always streaking, Liam.
Well, a coffee filter, Julie, is better than paper towel.
Okay. This is insane.
It's lint. It's lint free. Okay. So just spray on
Liz,
the glass
cleaner. I bet Hooper would love to eat a couple coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That for sure.
If you gave him a chance.
That for sure. Wait, what magazine is this?
This is Real Simple, which is, again, just one notch above an Instagram account now. They have also fallen down on the job. Okay, Liz, I know you've got a lot of free time. And what do you like to do
in your free time?
Do you like to make deodorizing sachets? Because that's what you can do with coffee filters now. Look at how trashy those look. You're supposed to put baking soda in a coffee filter and then tie it off with a ribbon. And what do you do with that? I don't know.
Is it too much to say my time is too valuable to spend any of it doing that?
Liz, you can put them in your sneakers or in a trash can. No doubt you put them in a trash can. It looks like trash. And then finally, if you're somehow all out of bowls, you can put snacks in a coffee filter.
Okay, that's
what
not good.
What the hell?
No.
Okay, I don't usually swear, but come on, real simple. You got to give us a little bit
Kick
more
it up
that.
A notch here. That okay. is not a good tip.
No.
Okay. Eating out of coffee filters.
Okay, this stopped me in my tracks. I was reading this on the couch. Liz, Julie made me think of you. Here's the headline from Health Magazine. 3 things you should never, ever do with your vagina. Okay? That's the only time I'm going to say that.
Are we really talking about this on satellite?
The only time I'm going to say this word, but I think this is important information.
Okay.
Because I have no doubt you've been wondering, what should I do with that thing? Or more importantly, what should I not do with that thing?
Please tell me it doesn't involve coffee filters.
Okay, it does not. It does not. It involves some other things you would never think about in connection with your private parts. All right, Liz, do not insert a jade egg. Okay, I know.
A jade egg?
Yeah, okay. I know that those ladies at Goop want you to do that. It's up
they
there.
They do?
You're supposed to be contracting. It's supposed to be like a workout,
yeah.
for, you know, what I'm
yes.
talking about. Don't do it, Liz, okay? Stick with the Kegels.
Okay.
You know that. Okay,
yes.
Julie, I don't ever want you to steam it. All right? I know you're sitting around in Dallas thinking, I have
a steamer right here in my closet, Leanne. I really don't steam many clothes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to fire up an urban-fused hot water and just sit on it. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do it. Don't
I've
do that.
Never been tempted. At all.
I'm
ever. Glad.
Well, Liz, this has probably crossed your mind. The number 3 thing you're not supposed to do. I know you're looking in your spice cabinet. You're going, oh, what am I going to do with that extra clove of garlic? Don't put it you
up
know
there?
Where. Don't put it up there, Liz.
People do that?
Apparently, it's an old wives' tale. I mean, maybe one old wife once put some garlic. Where the sun don't shine. I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Who puts garlic?
What's the goal? What would the goal be?
Is that
a peeled garlic clove? Is it the whole clove or is it?
Yeah, this is supposed to be. It's a clove, Julie.
Again, there are hardly any words.
It's a. It's a popular. It's
are
a
there
popular.
Pictures of this?
Well, no, but there's. It's a popular folklore remedy for a yeast infection.
Okay.
It's a clove of garlic.
All right.
Popular with what? Like witches in Grimm's Brothers stories. Who's writing this stuff these days?
I don't know.
So those are the 3 things. Don't do any of those.
You have my 100% agreement.
Okay.
How about you, Julie? No?
I'm a square on this. I'm not doing it, Liam.
Okay.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer,
yeah.
I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do.
Because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
All right. I want to mention over on the Facebook page, I want to thank everybody for their help. The Facebook group, if you want to join our Facebook group, we would love to have you. You go to Facebook, you search The Satellite Sisters. That's the group name. And then we will approve you. Come on over. There's a lot of good travel tips happening,
yes,
Liz.
Yes, there is.
So I just wanted to mention.
Or there are?
Many.
Yeah, there are.
Many.
I heard that in my headphones.
Many.
That's not right.
Many, many thanks for all the recommendations for Paris and Rome.
Yes.
I'm going to those two cities next week. Very excited. Great recommendations. Like, I am making, you know, restaurant reservations based on that. So thank you very much. Also, people seeking tips for the Grand Canyon. If you know anything mm-hmm. about the Grand Canyon, scoot over to the Facebook group. Or shoes, good travel shoes. That was a very lively discussion with a lot of recommendations for good walking shoes for travel. So that is over at our Facebook group.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're asking your questions and you're getting your answers.
I am getting answers.
Suggestions from the Satellite Sisters and Misters who all post there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Now I feel like I'm going to disappoint people when I can't go to all their recommended restaurants. And people, a lot of people suggesting day trips. I don't have time
no
for
time for
day.
That.
I have
because you're researching your new book
yeah.
when you're in Paris,
yes.
right? So you have an agenda.
It's a pretty specific agenda. So, and then I'll be with my 20-year-old son. He's never been to Paris before. So we're going to be doing like the Louvre because, you know, we want to yeah. see that winged victory. Yeah. So we're going to be running through the Louvre and things like that. But for most of the time, we're sort of on a prescribed route. So we are taking one day trip, but it will not be to Epernay or to the place where they make Dom Perignon or any of those.
It's Versailles.
It's a list yeah. for a lifetime, Leon.
It is.
You're all set.
So if other
anyone's set. There could be other Satellite Sisters going abroad.
Yeah, I appreciated Joshua suggested the catacombs in Paris. That's a must-see. And then I reminded him I have claustrophobia, so it's not a must-see for me.
No.
But I bet my
you
son
could send your son down there.
Yeah. And then that's what he said. You can go to a nearby cafe. So that sounds like an excellent way to spend the afternoon.
And now it's time for Entertaining Sisters. Okay, here we are. We've all been out and being wildly entertained over the last week, so we wanted to pass along some entertainment tips. As we mentioned at the top of the show, on Friday night, I went to a screening and a panel discussion about The Crown. Because I'm an Emmy voter, I was an executive in the television business, and I still get to play one on TV. So this is the time of year when their campaigning begins, where the shows start doing these parties and presentations for Emmy voters so that you can say, oh, yeah, oh, she was great in that, or, oh, yeah, that script was great. So Friday night at the Television Academy, it was Peter Morgan, who is the creator and the writer of The Crown, But he also wrote The Queen, the movie The Queen. Remember how great that was? And he wrote Frost Nixon.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it was Peter Morgan, Claire Foy, who, of course, is, you know, Queen Elizabeth. She is the crown. Vanessa Kirby, whose name I did not know, but she's the actress who plays Princess Margaret.
Oh.
And she is fantastic. In season two, if you haven't watched season two, I would get started right now. It is so great. But then the fourth person they had on the panel, also great to see, was Jane Petrie, who is the costume designer.
Oh.
And again, if you've watched that show, you know how gorgeous the costumes are and very specific to a time period. So, you know, and all of these are separate Emmy categories, so they have different people talking about different things. But first, they screened an episode. The episode was the one called Mystery Man, and it was about the Profumo scandal.
Oh, yeah.
So every episode is based on something that really happened in history. And so I got to say, not that anyone's going to be able to go out and do this, watching The Crown on a giant screen, it's even more gorgeous than it is on television. Oh, it was
I'm sure because the production quality is so high in that. Every detail, the carpets, the rugs, the teacups, the teapots, you know, you just, the flowers, the upholstery, you just noticed how rich everything was in that
exactly.
production.
So seeing that on a big screen, you could appreciate every one of those details. So a couple of interesting things that got said in the panel. Peter Morgan is super talented and very entertaining. And one of the things he said about Queen Elizabeth as a character, as she's portrayed in The Crown, he said, she's like a Russian doll, that the character itself is a woman in a woman inside a crown, you know, and It was very thoughtful the way he said it. And you can sort of see that what makes that show so great is that, okay, she's the queen, but then she's also, you know, the wife of that loser. Right.
Right.
But, you know, so
wife of the Nazi. Yeah.
Yes. She has to be the queen, and she's the head of family, and she's the head of state. And they really communicate to you what it really means to be the crown.
Yes.
And so much of what she does is not for herself or even for her family, but just the weight she feels being the crown. So I thought that was really interesting. But he said, I know in the show, I am never going to get to write a fight scene or a car chase or any of that. So he said, one of my favorite scenes, the angriest you will ever see anyone in this show, is in the Jackie Kennedy episode. Julie, have you seen that one?
Where
Jackie Kennedy visits Buckingham Palace. So it's Jackie Kennedy and Claire Foy as the queen. And he said, just watch the way she butters that scone. She is irritated. So that was very entertaining to hear him talk about that. Claire Foy, you know, about how hard it was to step into that role. You know, that's a pretty intimidating role. She was not well known at all when she first took on that that role. And she also got asked about the whole news story, which we have talked about here, the fact that she was paid less than her co-star. And, you know, she was pretty thoughtful about it. She doesn't want to take any shots at him. She's more like, well, I guess I'm just happy now that we are being asked for our opinions on things that we were never asked about before. Mm-hmm. And she said, I never really thought I could come forward about things like that before. And now I can. So that is progress. So anyway, it was super entertaining, very fun. I would just say, watch season two. Or if you haven't seen season one, start there. But the only thing that makes me sad is that now they're gone in season three.
Right.
They are, all the actors are being recast in season three. So I feel like it was my last chance to really appreciate Claire Foy in all of her glory.
Who's playing the queen in the next one?
I forget the actress's name.
I'll look that up.
Okay, look that up. We can move on to Julie's entertaining sisters.
Yeah. Well, good report, Liz. You know, I am not an Emmy voter, so I'm not going anywhere special. And Lee and I'm not going to France. But so if you're like me, you're just staying home, watching TV and reading books. So I have a book recommendation for you. And this is in particular, I was thinking of you, Leanne, because this book is really like Vive la France. I mean, it's the name of the book is called The Kites by Romain Gary. And Roman Gary is a French writer, very decorated writer. He's actually not French. He's Lithuanian, but he pretended to be French his whole life. And,
really?
He lived in Paris and he hung out at the Brasserie Leap. He was married to the American actress Jean Seberg, and he actually killed himself. But he wrote, this is his last book. And it's
so
just
kind of sad and disturbing. Okay.
Well, he was the life of a tortured French author.
Oh, okay. French, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, he really did that. And this is his last book, The Kites. And it's just recently been translated from French into English. And it's like watching an old French movie. It has charming characters. They're not new or modern. It's a story of a fraught love affair. Right at the buildup of World War II, and it's set in Normandy, France. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think if you love France, if you love French things, if you're not packing your away bag to go to France like Leon, you might enjoy this book as a nice little side trip. It's called The Kites by Roman Gary.
Okay. So okay. We'll put that in the notes on the website.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing, if you're not reading a book, you're probably watching TV. And first of all, I think there's a good HBO special coming up that I'm really excited about. And I think it's going to be great even if you do not play tennis. The name of it is Being Serena.
And
it's the HBO special. It debuts on May 2nd. And I think this is going to be, I've watched the trailer. We're going to post the trailer online. A very personal story about her, about becoming a mother, about the very difficult childbirth that she had, and now trying to make her comeback. And, you know, without a doubt, she is one of the greatest female athletes of all time. And to have this very intimate portrait of her, I think is going to be very, very worth our while to watch. Don't you think,
sisters?
That's
great. I can't wait. Yes, I'm really looking forward to that.
So that is called Being Serena. It's on HBO and it debuts on May 2nd. And then my third pick, which is a little unusual because I haven't been watching this show for a long time, but I am back in, and that is Dancing with the Stars. this okay. year, this season, and they've had they've had just so many seasons of Dancing with the Stars, but this season, it's all athletes. And, you know, they've gotten rid of the politicians, the actors, the entertainers. It's Olympic athletes. It's really from like the sublime to the ridiculous. They have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is competing. As well as Tanya Harding. But they also have a number of Olympians that just, were just in the Olympics. So I think what you're going to see in this this season is a lot more competition. These people know how to compete,
right.
And they're going to go at it. I watched Adam Rippon dance last night. He wants that trophy.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I think it's going to be good. So that's worth it to dip in if you're home alone like me, reading books and watching TV.
All right, I have an update. The Crown season 3, Olivia Colman will mm-hmm. be the queen. She was in Broadchurch.
Oh, so, right.
So
yes.
In Broadchurch, she played the sort of female detective.
Yes, she is great.
She's
in
a great actress.
That is really, really a good show.
And then the the prince, I should have said Nazi sympathizer and not Nazi
okay.
Prior will be the guy from Outlander. Is the mean captain.
He's replacing
from
Matt Smith.
Yes. So
okay.
Tobias, whatever his name is, Tobias something. So
okay.
There you go.
I think it would be pretty
report,
intimidating if you're an actor to come in after Claire Foy and Matt Smith.
Oh, I think it's the opposite. I think, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine. It'll be exciting to like sink your teeth in. And, you know, you're playing a completely different person.
Yeah, you're playing an older woman.
Yeah.
No, well, that's one thing Peter Morgan said when he was asked about why was he replacing the cast. He said, I don't think it's fair to ask an actor to age more than 20 years. That's kind of his cutoff.
And as the audience, we don't want to see those bad makeup jobs.
Yeah.
It's just bad. It's just,
yeah.
I don't care who plays her. Great.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. No, I'm psyched. All good.
Okay, well now, sisters, it's time for the big reveal, right?
Yes.
We are, here we are, the entire month of April. We have been running our You're the Best photo contest on Facebook and Instagram. You know, we thought this was a good idea when we cooked it up in March. Our original goal was to just fill our feed with photos of friendship, right? Because that's what Satellite Sisters is about. We're just very pro-friendship. So we thought it was a good idea. But I think it turned out to be even a way better idea than we anticipated.
It was delightful. The whole month has been
such
delightful.
A pleasure. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, that reason enough to join just to see all these great pictures of the Satellite Sisters with the Satellite Sisters and Misters to whom they wanted to say, you're the best. So I posted on Facebook the other day the list, my own very low-tech system for writing all of your names on a yellow legal pad with my flair, my purple flair, which is my writing implement of choice. Then last night, I cut them all into little slips of paper, and then I put them into a Ziploc bag, which I have now in front of me, right, Leanne? And
yes,
I came in. I wanted a witness, Julie, to the drawing of the names. So I drew the names right before we started recording, but Leanne is my witness.
Yes.
So da-da-da-da-da-da from the Facebook prizes that we are giving out, the fantastic gift basket from Salsa Basket. Thank you for that. Cool Jams gave us a $75 gift certificate. We have two pillows from Nectar. That's the new mattress that we got. So these are really great pillows. And a copy of our book, You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship. So here we go. Starting at the top, the winner of the Salsa Basket is Julie Lawrence Morris. And this is just a great picture. This is, she writes, we can't remember how long we've been together, but it's over 30 years. Luncheon today, celebrating two birthdays and sending one of the birthday gals off on her fourth journey with cancer. Laughs, singing, eating, hugs, and tears. So that was Julie's caption. Congratulations, Julie. You're going to enjoy that salsa basket. Next up, Cool Jams. The Cool Jams gift card is going to Lisa Horngren Dixon. And again, random selection, but I really loved your photo, Lisa, because it was Satellite Sisters and Misters. And the message just said, cheering on the Wisconsin Badgers with our Satellite Misters. You're the best.
Good.
And it was also addressed to Betsy Dixon Witt. So you get the Cool Jams card. You're going to enjoy that. Next up, the pillows from Nectar will be going to Carla Olson Nelson. And it was a photo of Carla with Karen Fazulo, who is her actual sister, which of course we enjoy. But I love Carla.
You can split the pillows.
I love the fact that you won the pillows because here's her message. My sister has been fantastic as I recover from my broken ankle. Since January, she's done my laundry every week, taken me to the doctor's appointments, parked my car in her driveway during snow emergencies, picked up prescriptions, and so many other helps. You're the best, Karen Fazulo. So I think in your recovery, the broken ankle, you're going to need those pillows, Carla. So enjoy. And then finally, the copy of our book, You're the Best, will go to Rebecca Ramsey Gerhardt. And this is an older photo of kids in a pyramid. And so youthful exuberance in this one. And she writes, as the oldest of five sisters, we are super lucky to have one another. This picture is a few years old. Well, maybe more than a few. But it makes me smile every time I see it. I am the bottom left sister. So congratulations, Julie, Lisa, Carla, and Rebecca. You're all winners from the Facebook group. So I need you to email me your mailing addresses. And the email address is info@satellitesisters.com. Now, Leanne, you picked the winner from Instagram.
From
correct?
Instagram, the winner is Dee Ballasy. Isn't that a cute photo? It's her and her Satellite Sisters at a wedding.
Oh, cute.
And it says, Satellite Sisters and weddings are a great combination. Yes, they are, Dee.
I like that.
Yeah, and you're going to win a Cool Jams gift card.
So, Dee, if you could also just email us, it's info@satellitesisters.com. Right. Satellitesisters.com. So we just need your mailing addresses and we will get your prizes out to you. Thanks again to Salsa Basket, Cool Jams, Nectar, and to us for the copies of our book.
Yes. Yes. Thanks to us. We should also thank our engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thank you so much, Sergio, for taking care of us here at the Wondery Sunset Studios. All right. To-do list. Liz, you got anything on your to-do list this week?
Road trip, Leanne. I am leaving on Friday. Hooper and I are taking our first road trip together. You know, I just adopted a new dog about 2 months ago. We are driving up to Oregon for we're going to be there all next week. That's where I'll be doing next week's show from. So we're hitting the road Friday morning.
Oh, fun.
I'm super psyched
to
see how he does in the backseat on the road trip.
Yeah. All right. Julie, what do you got on your to-do list?
I'm going to book indoor skydiving, Leanne, because my son gave that to my husband for his birthday. And so I feel like I better book these indoor skydiving appointments before there's a fatal accident at this place and everybody dies. That's what I'm doing. Indoor
skydiving.
That sounds skydiving.
Fun. Yeah, that sounds fun. Looks like I tried that once. Yeah.
I know you did.
Yeah. Okay. And Leanne, how about you?
What's you know it? What? I have to do a book club this week. I literally forgotten entirely about it. So I was so relieved to get a reminder email from the organizer.
When you say do a book club, you're speaking at a book club?
I'm speaking at a book club. It's a You're the Best book club. It was an auction item at a school auction.
Okay.
Like, copy of the book, and then I show up at the book club. And so I have to refresh myself on You're the Best, what it's all about. You know, it's funny. I do a ton of speaking.
Yes.
And then I haven't been because I was working writing another book. So then I literally like, what do I say about that book again? gotta remind myself. And Sheila may do a drive-by. So,
oh, wow.
Because there's good food. So she was in. She may do.
Yeah.
Yeah. She may do a drive-by.
Well, we don't want to overpromise too much, but while you're gone, we may even have Sheila as a special guest sister on
fantastic.
The show.
Fantastic.
And there's a rumor of Monica, too. We do not know.
Right.
But it could happen.
Right.
Anything could happen while you're gone.
Anything could happen. I know. The whole thing could fall apart. All right. Well, everyone have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
Thanks to everybody.
You too, Leanne.
Thanks to everybody for listening. You can always find everything you need at satellitesisters.com. It's a good place to check first for any links or any information you want. SatelliteSisters.com. Thanks for listening. Remember to share the sisters. We appreciate it when you let your friends know about our podcast. We also appreciate it when you put a nice review of our podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wherever you want to put a review. That'd be great. All right. Have a great week. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.